Good morning, church. Good morning, visitors. Glad that you're here this morning. It's a wonderful Sunday. The weather is perfect outside, and it's even better in here. Amen. John 20. If you got your Bibles, turn to John 20. We're going to go right to God's Word this morning. John chapter 20. If you've got a Bible, if you've got an iPad, an iPod, a phone, a Kindle or Nook or whatever you've got that you've got the Word of God in, get it out. Right? We're in church, right? We're up in church today, right? So we're supposed to have our Bibles, right? All right. Good, good, good. Because like I tell my kids, if you're in math class, you got your math book, right? So like if you're in science, you got your science books. So hopefully you got your Bibles. John chapter 20. Verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." You need to understand this is after the resurrection. This is anywhere between 20 to 30 days after the resurrection. Or excuse me, actually, it's the day right after, to be honest with you. A week later. In a span of a week, in a span of 2 weeks, Jesus was with his disciples for 40 days before he ascended. So a little bit over a month, all this is occurring. He's appearing to his disciples and he's appeared once already, and he appears again. Thomas wasn't with them the first time. And he says, you know, I've got to see it to believe it. I've got to see it to believe it. So a week later, right, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. And said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Wow. What a story. You know, we get this picture of Thomas. There's several pictures we get of Thomas. Some are the bold Thomas. You know, Jesus, no, Lazarus is dead. We need to go see him. We need to go be with him. You know, and we have the doubtful Thomas. And I think we relate so much to the doubtful Thomas because sometimes in our lives, especially in our spiritual walk, doubt creeps in so many times. The disciples, you know, they're overjoyed. They're happy. Man, we've seen the Lord, Thomas. I'm telling you, he said he was going to resurrect, and he did, and we've seen him. But Thomas cannot share in that joy because he has to see it to believe it. The fact is that our joy for the Lord often is drained by our doubt. Isn't that right? So many times we get so drained, life drains our faith and we begin to doubt. And when we begin to doubt God and doubt what he's doing, then there goes the joy in life. Seems like Thomas's situation. I don't know about you, but I want to see it to believe it too at times. Like, I want to be convinced, you know? Like, I want to have some proof. And this is Thomas, like, I just, you know, yeah, I was with Jesus, but I want to see the marks. I want to see the side. I want to see. And that's us so many times. Like, I want to see it. I want to, Lord, if you're here, if you're real, I want to see. I need to see something. I need to see something happen. I need to see my financial situation change. I need to see my marital situation change. I need to see my kids come back to church. I need to see, God, I need to see. And so we're right there with Thomas, trusting so much what we see and feel. But the fact is that our faith does not depend on our senses. It doesn't. Your faith and my faith isn't connected to my retina. It's connected to our hearts and our soul. Faith is being challenged constantly. And Thomas wants to see. He wants to see the scars. He wants to see the scars. The fact is that, you know, scars tell a story. Scars tell a story. And the truth is that we all have scars, right? How many of you have scars? Wow, look at that. Either from a surgery or from a fall. Man, I tell you what. I think I was probably about, you're going, oh, no. Here it comes. Here it comes. Oh, baby. No, I was probably about 33. And we had this lock-in at our church back in Panama City. And lock-ins, there's something just peculiar about lock-ins that just, it's you know, whoever thought of a lock-in isn't human, okay? And so we were having this lock-in and up all night, and we decided to go out into the parking lot and have a water balloon fight. And so here we are, 3 o'clock in the morning, running around with water balloons, throwing them at each other. There's about 40, 50 kids running around and adults. And so we decide that, me and this other college student decide that we're going to ambush one of our youth ministry team members. Okay, Kevin, good friend Kevin. He actually painted the painting of Jesus that I have in my office. And so Kevin was just kind of, he was just a good old guy, you know, just kind of tall, kind of clumsy, you know, not that tall people are clumsy, but he was. And so he's just kind of walking back to the building, and my buddy and I, Jeremy, decide we're going to ambush him before he gets to the building. So we take off running, him from one direction, me from another direction. And in the excitement, we forgot that we were both running in the same direction, and we collided. And the collision was, it was just cataclysmic, right? Like, planets were aligned. Things were happening in the planet and in the universe that just made it right. And people say, this is what they say, that when I hit the ground, now my buddy was a rugby player, okay? When I hit the ground, the earth shook, okay? And on pure concrete, and I mean, I wish I could show you. Maybe you'll see it. I don't know. It's right here. Right here. Okay? Right there. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. And there was bleeding, there was laughing. Bleeding, more laughing. And then there was a lot more laughing because the rest of the teenagers came. And my buddy Jeremy, of course, there was nothing wrong with him. But scars just happen to tell a story. If I were to ask you to look at one of your scars from a surgery or a fall or something, you could probably look at it and remember. Maybe vaguely, but maybe very detailed about how you got that scar and what happened. We all have them. I want to ask a good friend of mine to come on up here and join us. You know, in just a second, come on up, Justin. Just come on up. Make your way up here. I don't know if you know Justin Guy. You got a chance to meet Justin when we got here. Grab a seat, man. Join us. We were at a life group meeting at the Fentons for Christmas, where we played that crazy game. You remember that? And I met Justin, and as we were leaving, Justin said something. We started talking, and he said something. He said, you know, Carlos, I had a daughter. You know? Just as a minister, it just like had. So I said, I told him right away, I said, man, I want to have breakfast with you. I want to get together with you. And I think the next week we went and sat and had breakfast together. And he told me the rest of his story. And I said, wow, man. Wow. And so I've asked him to join us this morning. And I'm just going to ask him a few questions. And brother, I just want to tell you right off the bat, thank you so much for making yourself available and open to the church this morning. And Justin, I just want to dive in right away and ask you, do you remember a time in your life in which you were afraid, possibly terrified, because it was like difficult to see clearly what was ahead? And in that same moment, like Thomas, you were waiting. You were just like waiting for God to show up. You were waiting to be able to see something happen. And if you could share some of that time for us.
Well, I'm appreciative to the elders and the deacons and yourself for this opportunity, so I can share my story, because everyone has a story. And to answer that question, yes, I recall. I wrote it down. I had to write it down, as you know, getting older. Yes, I recall the most vivid and emotional time of my life, which is when I was married and our daughter, Ananda, was diagnosed with a terminal illness. The disease is known as SMA type 1, spinal muscular atrophy. Spinal muscular atrophy type 1 is the most severe. Ananda was only 6 months old when we received this disheartening news from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. My parents raised me to man up to problems and issues of life. However, faced with this concern, I cried and became angry towards God. Soon I noticed myself becoming distant from God and more into selfish thoughts. Why me? Why us? And why now? Fathers become extremely protective of their daughters. At this vulnerable moment, the only event I couldn't save her from was death. The illness is terminal. And as we know, terminal, I shouldn't have to explain that meaning. However, faced with that was challenging. In my thinking, parents aren't supposed to bury their kids. However, kids could bury their parents. My manhood was challenged and tested in fire, in which I was absolutely terrified of. I was in my mid-20s, 25 actually, and still good-looking fly as ever. Holla at your boy. No, seriously, how a couple makes a complete turnaround, a 360 of a relationship from a dating couple to caregiving, overwhelmed and stressed. We never thought we were raising, loving, and preparing our daughter for the unseen. It's only by the grace of God we committed to this staggering task. Consider something. We will all be faced with the loss of our loved ones. What will we do? Hebrews 9:27 states, "We are appointed to die once, but after this, the judgment." How will you maintain your sanity? I recall the song that states, "I've decided to follow Jesus." Mm. My parents also taught me to let your yes be yes and your no be no. Commit yourself 100% to whichever task also taught me, that the Lord has for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. Jesus died and the Father allowed it due to fulfilling the will. I needed to step back and stop playing God, humbly submit to His will, whichever direction that is.
Again, Justin, thank you for sharing that moment of your life and where you were spiritually, where you were emotionally. How did you make it through that time? I mean, you're here now. If you could just share with us a little bit of that.
Okay. Well, it was through faith. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It was only through faith that we made it. My faith never quit seeking for God's help, guidance, and love. However, this change had my beliefs starting off weak and unaware. Eventually, it became relentless and seeking to grow in every area. I've learned without faith, we are most miserable and void. Life brings trials. Whatever we go through in life, faith is the only key component, and we can't practice love without it.
That's right. That's right. Last question. Looking back now at those years, that time, those emotions, your faith, how it was and how it was tested, and the outcome now, your daughter being gone now for how long? How long has it been?
It's been through since 2007.
Okay, since 2007, so roughly about 7 years. What can you say now about your faith, looking back?
Well, it was through Christ and His. And in Christ is how I made it. The scriptures state, "For without me, you can't do nothing." John 5:15. Honestly, my faith was relentless to quit. When I failed, faith stated, "Keep getting back up to try again." I'm figuring the reason why I'm still alive is to have a second chance. Why not make every effort to conquer this obstacle?
That's right.
It's only by grace I was physically, emotionally, and mentally able to make it through these challenging times. Finally, I discovered our plan isn't God's plan, and His will may not be the item we pray for. However, accept it, for He knows the end result. Death is definite. However, when it occurs with a child, it's devastating.
Yeah.
Perhaps our daughter came to us like an angel for a short period of time as an indicator to draw us near to Christ. Or perhaps we practice idolatry for how she was the center of our everyday lives. Questions and concerns flood your brain. Your mind wanders in emptiness and void from the thought of our daughter not being present in your life. How do you move? In Christ we move, live, and have our being.
Right.
Acts 11:28. In conclusion, as I look back, the uncertainty, fear, and sadness allowed me to appreciate my trials as a Christian soldier. The military can teach you how to survive a war. However, until you fight in a war, you will never understand how unprepared you really were. Soldiers never quit fighting and find a way, whether it's up, down, underneath, across, east, west, don't ever quit. Remember, only with Christ we are more than conquerors. In conclusion, I found that Christ is the only way to comprehend our unseen wars and trials of life.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you so much, brother. Sharing an experience like what Justin's shared and what several people have shared this month, and there are probably many other stories in this audience. It's not an easy thing. It takes faith just to get up here and share this. And we've done these interviews so that we can see that, you know, faith is required of all of us. In good and bad, in death and life, faith is going to be necessary. Scars, we're going to still have scars. Got scars that we can see and scars that we can't. But like you said, in faith we'll get through it. Thank you, Justin. Thank you
so
much, brother.
Thank you. Love you, man.
Love you too. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, brother.
The fact is, church, that when we trust what we see and feel more than the unseen, we end up disillusioned, disappointed, and in doubt. You know, we've heard Hebrews 11:1 read, right? Hebrews 11:1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Certain of what we do not see. We miss opportunities to see the unseen when we continue to trust and put our faith in the things we do see. Jesus, though, relentlessly makes himself known to us. I mean, think about it. He shows up and he appears to the disciples, and Thomas is not there. And he shows up a second time. Oh, I'm here now, Thomas. And I feel like as if Jesus, even with us, is constantly saying, look, I know your faith is weak. I know sometimes your faith staggers a little bit, but I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up constantly. I'm going to constantly keep showing up in some way or another so your faith can be strengthened. A question, though, is are we still looking for the scars? I love the fact that Jesus comes in and says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace. Friend, brother, sister, are you at peace? Is the peace of Christ with you? I mean, listen to me right now. Is the peace of Christ with you? Are you at peace about your salvation? Are you at peace about your relationship with God? Are you at peace about your life? Are you at peace? Because he keeps showing up and he says, peace be with you. Peace about your salvation, about who you are in me, Jesus says. Are you at peace? I can't answer that for you. Only you can look at your life and look at your relationships with your spouses and children and other folks and even yourself. Are you at peace with yourself? He says, peace be with you. And the next thing he says is, you see my scars, Thomas. You see the holes in my hands, see the hole in my side. Jesus' scars tell a story, church. Do you understand that the scars of Jesus tell a story? You know what that story is? It is the gospel. It is the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus that his scars tell. It's the full proof of the divinity of Jesus. 100% proven. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what his scars communicated. There are scars, though. There are scars. Have you read what Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 53? Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him and afflicted, but He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us, there's the word, peace. Peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. His wounds, not ours, His wounds, we are healed. And after hearing that, and Thomas, after seeing those scars, he and you and I can't help to say, right, my Lord and my God, my Master, my King, my Savior, my Creator, my God, my everything, my all in all. I don't know, but that's the only response I see fit. Don't you? The fact is that that response is the pinnacle of the gospel. I'm willing to say also that Thomas's response, in my opinion, for me, is even more powerful than Peter's response in Matthew 16. My Lord, my God, you know that Thomas, he's the first one in the Bible to call Jesus, or in the New Testament, excuse me, to call Jesus God, not the Son of God. But God, my Lord and my God. First one. Wow. My Lord and my God. The pinnacle of the gospel. I love what Paul writes in the letter to the Colossian church. He writes, we look at this sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, He organizes it and holds it together like a head does a body. That's Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. So spacious is He, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in Him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe. Listen carefully. People and things, animals and atoms get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of the death of Jesus and His blood that poured down from the cross. Everything that's broken gets fixed and put together back at the cross, where the scars were made. Because you've seen Him, you believe, says Jesus. But Jesus, I haven't seen Him, or I haven't seen you. I haven't seen you. Well, He's got something for us. He's got something for us. He's not done. Listen. But blessed are you who through faith see the unseen. Blessed are you who believe even though you do not see. Is that you? Yes or no? Is that you? That's me too. Blessed are you who through faith see the unseen. Scars, they do tell a story. Yes, I'm waiting for something to happen too. been waiting 12 years for something to happen. But you know what? It's already happened. Do you understand? And this is what we have to believe. This is what we have to have faith in, is that, you know, if you're waiting for something to happen, you need to understand it already happened. And it happened at the cross. And nail marks were driven. And nail marks were made on the body of the Savior. Something already has happened. Do we have faith enough to sustain us till we meet again with Him? Scars, they tell a story. We all have them. Psalm 147, verse 3. I've come to heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. Psalm 147, 3. And so Jesus says to you today, like He said in Revelation 3:20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Here who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. He's standing here today and He's knocking at the door of your heart. And He wants to come in. Because He wants to show you. He wants to show you the scars. Look at your hands for a second. Look at your hands. Everybody, put your hands up if you have hands. Now turn your palms towards your eyes. What do you see? I don't see anything. I don't see anything. I see my fingers and I see my skin and I see some lines and I don't see anything. I don't see anything. I don't see anything because they're not on me. They're not on me. The scars aren't on me. The scars are on Him. They're supposed to be on these hands. They're supposed to be here. But they're not. And they won't ever be. I'm not going to go to the grave. You're not going to come to my funeral and look at my hands and see holes in my hands or a hole on my side. No, it's not going to be there. Because it's already on Him. He took up our infirmities. By His wounds, we're healed. Who else is there to believe in? But Jesus. Who else can you believe in? Young, old, black, white, rich, poor. Who else is there to believe in other than Jesus? That's what I thought. They're not there. Because they're on Him. We're about to sing a song. And if this morning you haven't come to Him, giving your life to Him and your heart to Him and obedience to the gospel that is His, through your faith, accepting His grace and turning to Him, and putting Him on. Letting Him take control of your life. Letting Him begin to make a change in your life through the Holy Spirit. Then scars are going to still be there. So if you have any need this morning, whether it be prayers or just talk, just to know more about Christ, or if you want to be baptized, whatever the need may be, we're going to go ahead and stand up. Go ahead and do that right now. Dwight's going to begin leading us. And if you have any need, just come up forward. God bless.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for